Again, we're just thankful for the great services, the Heritage Sunday service we had yesterday morning, and the great testimonies and all of the great message we heard from Brother Smith preached yesterday morning. And Pastor Clark said it, for those of you who don't know it, Brother Smith, this is his home church. He grew up here in this church. And look at the tremendous pastor and man of God that he is today. So great things that we have to look forward to all of our young people and all of our new ones and everybody. That includes everybody. Praise God. Also, we want to talk a little bit about the great things that took place last night. I met with Pastor Clark today, and he brought it up again, how proud we are of our young ladies, yes, but also of the leadership of our young ladies, the women who have taken it upon themselves to lead and guide these young ladies. And you heard these young girls, some of them 10, 12, 14 years old and up, but you heard the substance in their speech, their genuine spirit as they shared the great testimonies of what took place and what is taking place in their lives as individuals and as a group. And one thing that stood out in our minds, and mine definitely, was how that several said, I feel like I feel a unity. I feel like I'm bonding with my sisters. I feel like I'm getting to know them better, and we're coming together as a unit, as a group. And I told Pastor Clark today, I said, you know, Pastor Clark, it's not just these girls binding with each other, but I feel like the church itself, in hearing these girls and supporting these girls, we are bonding together with these young people as a church, as one body. What a powerful, powerful thing that took place yesterday. And Sister Clark said it last night, hey, we may not be having preaching tonight, Sunday night, but this is just as important, and that is the truth. Es la verdad. I hope you can feel this in my voice, everyone. This is coming from the depths of my spirit, and I know that all of you feel the same exact way. Oh, praise God. I'm going to stop now because we got to get on to a devotion tonight. But if you missed any of our other devotions, get to our website at truthchurch.net, where you can go to the archives section. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost, everyone. Why don't we just thank God right now? Boy, why don't we just thank God right now for everything that took place yesterday and what's going to continue to take place, because God has His hand on this church. God has His hand on you, each and every one of us. Let's pray right now. Just thank God. Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for the great privilege and honor that it is to, first of all, serve You and to be a part of Your church, Your apostolic church, but specifically to be a part of this church, the church in Ontario under Pastor and Sister Clark and Brother and Sister Rao our elders, the Primes, and so many other of our leadership that are great men and women of God. And now we have young ladies and young men that are coming up under that great umbrella of protection and of authority and of salvation that You're offering to all of our church, everyone. Oh, I hope you feel this anointing that we're feeling tonight, everybody. And this is a little bit backwards. I usually do this at the end, but I just feel it strong before we get into our message. Part two from Brother Jason Hood, and we're going to go ahead and begin to hear that in just a moment. We are thankful to Brother Jacob Roseberry, who's been very helpful in uploading all of our messages into our system. Praise God. Hey, let's get off to a great start. Now, I'm going to stop talking. We'll talk a little bit afterward, maybe, but let's continue to hear part two of Jason Hood about a space within the space. I'm probably misquoting that, and what an important message it is regarding repentance. Let's remember how important it is, repentance. We have to carry it in our everyday lives. Let me stop talking now and let me go ahead and begin to play part two of this message from Brother Jason Hood. Here we go.
And so many people, they have bought into this lie that they can do whatever they want. And God understands they're still going to make it. He doesn't expect you to change. That's not scriptural. It may not be frequently preached, but can I tell you here today that repentance is still essential to salvation? Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It is the requisite to salvation. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 37 and 38. You've heard it many times when the anxious inquirers ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? The first thing out of Peter's mouth, the spokesman, he said, you've got to repent. You've got to change. It is essential. It is essential to salvation. It's not a one-time event either, because we find ourselves falling. We find ourselves making mistakes and falling short of God's glory. I believe in keeping short records with God. And now let me say this, and I'm sure preach this another night, but there is a place of victory over sin. There is a place where you don't have to sin. There is a place where you can walk in the Spirit. But until we get there, thank God that we can find an altar somewhere and turn from our sin and say, God, I'm sorry. You know, some church folks think that God hates sin in the sinner, but that he'll tolerate it in the saint. They think it's okay for us as saints of God to sin in moderation. Did you catch that? It's okay for me. I got the Holy Ghost. I can sin in moderation. You know how it is. You go on a diet and you say, I'm going to stay off this for a certain amount of time. And then on this day, I'm just going to splurge and eat all I want. But I'm just doing it in moderation once a month or once every 2 weeks. And yeah, right. And so we can get that mentality. Well, I'm a child of God and I'm serving God and I got the Holy Ghost and I love God. You know, I know this isn't right, but I won't do it a bunch of times. I'm just going to do this one time and I know it's not right. Ooh, I'm talking to somebody tonight. Sinning in moderation. If God hates sin in the sinner, he certainly hates it in the saint of God, if not more so, because we are supposed to be representing him. There's nothing more noble, there's nothing more admirable in the eyes of God than for a person to say, I repent. I know I've been living this way, or I've been doing this thing, and this has been my mentality all of my life, but I'm giving everything up to God. I'm turning from sin. I'm through with sin. I'm not going to go with the flow. I'm not going to do what comes natural. Thank you, buddy. But I am going to repent. Amen. I'm going to repent. We could talk today about the power of repentance, and there's many scriptures that I have up here. I don't want to belabor the point, but let me say this here. In our text, the Lord is talking about the church of Thyatira, and he makes reference to a number of things, but verse number 21, he says, In regards to this woman, Jezebel, he said, I gave her space to repent. In other words, I gave her a window of opportunity. Are you hearing me tonight? I gave her a chance. There was a place and there was a space that I allotted to her that if she would repent in this space, that I would forgive her. He said, but she did not repent. She did not repent. And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, we have Esau, brother of Jacob. The Bible says that after everything was said and done, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Why? For he found no place. It did not say that God did not give him a space to repent. But the Bible says that he could find no place. Now think about that. Understanding, again, the definition of the word repent, meaning to change your mind, to change your heart, to change your direction. He could find no place to change his mind. Didn't say that God did not offer it. Didn't say that God was not merciful. Didn't say that God did not extend the olive branch, but he could not come to grips with the fact, I was wrong. It's up to God. Listen to me here tonight, church. It's up to God to provide the space of repentance. And God does that for every one of us. But it's up to you and I as individuals when he provides that space for us to find a place. I'm not talking about a physical location at an altar somewhere. There's plenty of room for that. I'm talking about a place in your mind. I'm talking about a place in your heart where when you look at things and you examine your life, you examine the direction you're headed in, and you know the outcome. You understand that you can either go to heaven or you can go to hell. You understand all of these things, but then you look at your life, you look at your friends, you look at your family, you look at all the things you have to give up. And God in his mercy says, hey, I love you. I want you to repent. I want you to change. I want you to stop. But God is not going to grab you by the scruff of the neck and ram your head down in an altar somewhere and force you to repent. You've got to come to that place by yourself. You've got to get to a place that you're willing to change your mind. You've got to get to a place that you're willing to say, hey, I've been doing things wrong a long time. And not everybody is capable of confessing that. There are people, Brother Ryle, I'm sure you've dealt with this. You can show them clear in the scripture what it takes to be saved. You can show them in black and white and even red where Jesus is speaking, and they'll see it clear as day. But they don't have what it takes to say, man, I've been wrong all this time. They can't find a place of repentance. They can't find a place to change. Well, I'm talking to everybody in this house. I'm not just talking to people that don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to people that have talked in tongues as well. I've seen saints of God in our local church, and you forgive me for using personal examples, but I've been raised in a pastor's home, and I've seen some things. I've seen people come to church and get the Holy Ghost and serve God for years, and God blessed them, and God uses their family, and something happens. Something happens in the church. Maybe somebody says something to their child. Well, I'll tell you what, some folks, well, they claim to be so spiritual, but when things start happening, you realize, man, some of these folks that's claiming to be spiritual is about thimble deep. And all it takes is one wrong word from one wrong sister. A misunderstanding is all it takes sometimes. And folks will pack up their toys and go home. You shouldn't have said that to me. I won't come back no more. Grow up. The Bible says to bear and forbear. You know what that means? That means to put up with one another. That's what it means. There's no such thing as the perfect church. And if you do find a perfect church, don't go. Because you're going to blow it for them. You're going to mess it up. We all have problems. We all have flaws. We all have situations, and while you're eyeing somebody else's, guess what? We can see yours too. Oh, it's easy to look at Brother Clark and say, man, he does such and such all the time. That is so weird to me. Oh my goodness. But I'm sure that we can examine you and find quite a few things that's kind of in left field that we wouldn't dare think about doing. But I've seen people in roles and positions of leadership in the church, and a misunderstanding takes place. No big deal happens. And when it all boils down to it, everybody talks it out. They meet with the pastor. He puts on his referee suit and his whistle, and he blows and says, go. And they fight it out. And when they find out that it's a misunderstanding, that's a lot of times what happens in pastor's offices. You didn't know that, but that's what happens a lot of times. They don't really go to get advice and to get counsel. They just go to let him referee their arguments. Amen. Foul. Your ball. Go ahead. Round two. Amen. But when it all came down to where the rubber meets the road and everything is just, it's all figured out, and the apologies are made, and you realize it's a misunderstanding, it's no big deal, and they part and go their separate ways. I've seen those people come back and forth to church, service after service, week after week, month after month, a totally different person than they were before the misunderstanding took place. I've seen them try to shout the misunderstanding away and run around the church. And when they ran, they had a bad spirit. I've seen them try to dance and get it off of them, and it wouldn't work. and they could never find a place of repentance. They could never find a place to say, you know what, Pastor, I shouldn't have talked to you like that in your office. They could never find a place to say, you know what, she really didn't mean it that way. I took it way too personal. Instead of swallowing their pride and saying, man, you know what, I really blew it. I made a fool of myself. I'm sorry. They could find no place of repentance. And God gave them space to repent, but they wouldn't do it. Some of them are not in church today. Some of them, their lives are so bent out of shape. Kids are so messed up. Simply because when God gave them space, they wouldn't find the place. That place is there. That place is there. It can be sometimes finding a place of repentance can be like finding a needle in a haystack. It's there somewhere underneath the clutter of your will. That place is there somewhere underneath the clutter of your pride. That place of repentance is somewhere underneath the clutter of that bitterness that's gripping your heart. Come back and forth to church and the church hadn't changed. We're doing the same thing we've always done, but you've changed, but you don't see it. You think everybody else has changed. It's not the church, it's you. Find a place to say, my God, what is wrong with me? Am I allowing the adversary to deceive me? Finding a place within the space. Finding a place within the space. The place is there. Somewhere beneath that lust. Somewhere beneath that desire. Woo, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I feel what I'm saying tonight so strong. That place is there. That place is there. That place is there. And God's saying, hey, why don't you repent? Why don't you leave some things alone? I'm giving you space. But you got to get to a place that you say, you know what? I can't keep messing with this. I can't keep playing with this. This thing is going to kill me. This thing is going to destroy me. It's going to take me down. It's going to ruin my name. It's going to mess up my family, my reputation. I've got to get to a place. You can't keep playing with God. You cannot keep playing with God. You can't keep doing it. You can't keep doing it. You've got to get to a place. Ooh, Holy Ghost is in this house tonight. Lift your hands and love Him right now, just a moment. My God, in the name of Jesus. 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 Stand with me tonight. Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 22. The wise man said, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. In other words, repent at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. Notice this, but I will not answer. Why won't you answer, God? Because when I called, when I gave you a space, when I did everything but call your name, you refused. And you waited too late until that space closed. You waited till that opportunity was taken away. You waited until the gift was retrieved. He said, they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I don't know who God is talking to here tonight specifically. I do believe God is talking to a number of us in this house. But there are some folks, as sure as I'm standing here, I could come and put my finger on your nose. I'm not one to do that. Don't claim to be a prophet. But I know what I feel tonight. And as I'm looking out over this congregation, I know God is talking to some folks here today. My question to you is this. Will you wait until the space has been closed? Will you wait until God shuts the window? Or will you remove everything that wants to stop you from truly repenting? Everything. I'm talking about even your own will and desire. You may like certain things, but because you know it's against God and you know that it's going to cause you to be lost, you got to be willing to find a place. I'm closing here today. Ezekiel 33:11. The Bible said, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" I could go on and on and on here today, but I really feel that we need to pray. We need to talk to God in this place. These altars are open. Are you going to find a place? Are you going to find a place in the space that God has given you? I'm talking saint and sinner alike. God is talking to us. God is drawing. God is reaching for us here in this place. Don't be like Esau. He shed many tears, but he still didn't repent. He cried and he wept, but he still couldn't bring himself to repent. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't just shed tears, but let there be some tears of repentance in this place. Come on, you know better than anybody else where you are. You know better than anybody else. Don't get me wrong. God is not here wanting to judge. God is not here wanting to condemn, but he is bound by his word. Come on. Come on. Esau cried. He wept. He shed many tears, but there was no change. There was no change. Come on. God, for every time I've been unfaithful, for every time I've been untrue,
for every time I've been ungrateful,
oh God,
for all you've done,
for all you've done, Lord,
and all you do,
please
forgive me.
Oh yes,
please forgive me.
Praise God. What a powerful, tremendous message that we heard tonight, everyone. And Brother Hood said it. This is for everyone, for sinner and saint alike. It doesn't matter where we're at, where we come from, how long we've been in the church. We need to understand repentance, true repentance. I appreciate something he said at the beginning, towards the beginning of the message. There is a place of victory over sin. Oh, let's be thankful to God for that. There is a place of victory over sin. And again, that applies to the sinner and the saint alike. Doesn't matter if you're just coming into the church as a new convert, you've been here 5 years, 20 years, 40 years, there's a place of victory over any sin, any addiction, any problem that we may have in our walk with God. He talked about bearing and forbearing. That's being patient with each other, helping one another. You know, it's so easy when we're on this side of the fence and we see someone go down and we think, oh boy, look what they're dealing with. Look at the, I mean, I'd never have a problem with that issue. Oh, let's be careful. Let's remember what the book of Galatians says about bear ye one another's burdens with humility, with patience, lest we also fall into that same temptation. Let's be careful that when someone goes down, we see someone falter, fail, let's come with a spirit of humility and pick up that brother and that sister. Praise God. And of course, you made it a little bit entertaining talking about how when people go into the pastor's office, it's not so much about repentance. It's about the pastor letting them go at it and he just being the referee. And we might think that's funny, something about just being funny about that. But boy, I got a feeling that sometimes some of that does go on. Let's be careful and be mindful to be our brothers and our sisters' keeper. Praise God. Keep it simple, repentance. You know what? When we hear this kind of message, sometimes something inside of us says, you know what, preacher, just keep it to a good Sunday school lesson about repentance, turning around and just getting forgiveness. Oh, but when it comes to deep repentance, sometimes it gets into areas we don't like to feel. We don't like to look into that mirror, everybody. But thank God for the mirror of the Word of God, because we want to be refined. We want to get all that stuff out of us. And thank God that God is a God that loves us, and that He's a God that wants us to be refined and perfected in His image. Praise God. And the last note I made here was this. We were talking about heritage and the Heritage Sunday and our great heritage that we come from. But you know what, everyone? Repentance is a part of our heritage. Let me say that again. Repentance is a part of our heritage. What a privilege and an honor it is to be able to have repentance in our lives and to be able to turn and walk away from sin and to walk away from our old ways and for God to change us, for God to be able to change our, because we can't change ourselves. Oh, but thank God that He has the power, the mercy, and the grace to be able to change us. Praise God, praise God. Everyone say praise God. I hope you've enjoyed this powerful lesson from Brother Jason Hood. And again, what a powerful ministry Brother and Sister Hood had. Yes, I said past tense, had, because they're not with us anymore in the physical. But you know what? Their spirits continue. Even this message, it's many years later that they've passed away, but we still feel their anointing. We still are impacted by their ministry and by their voices and Brother Hood preaching and Sister Hood singing under the anointing. Well, what a blessed thing it is to be part of the kingdom of God. And we're looking forward to see them one day, not too far away, sometime in the very near future, I believe. Praise God. Everyone, continue to be prayerful. Continue to be praying for that place of repentance that we all need every day. Praise God. And we look forward to seeing everyone on Wednesday night. Be prayerful and continue to find a place of fasting. Let's remember that. Pastors talks about that every now and then. We know we got to pray every day. We can't fast every day. But let's find a place of fasting throughout the week, whenever if it's just a meal or two, because we want the Lord to continue to bless our church with a revival and with evangelism and the salvation of lost souls. God bless all of you in the name of Jesus. We will see you all on Wednesday night. Amen.